Today's Survivor Double Exit interview is sponsored by TrueCar. Now, if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something and not being taken to slam town by these car dealerships. That's why there's True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car that you want, including the fees and the accessories, before you even get to the dealership. And the True Car dealers will show you what a true price is on the car, like the one that you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your True Price is a great price? Because True Car will show you what other people paid for the same car that you want, and your certified dealer knows this. So they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cespedino here with a double exit interview here on the Exit Interview podcast after episode number 4 of Survivor David versus Goliath. We've got a lot to get to today. So we have our two exit interviews coming up. First up, we're going to do this in reverse order. So first up, we're going to talk to Natalia and hear how she is feeling after last night's big blindside from the game. She had a really epic exit from the game. So we will talk about that first with Natalia, and then we will check in with B to hear how she is doing after leaving the game because of an injury to her knee. And then we will check back in with Jordan Kalish, the guy everybody's talking about, and I will take on Amanda Rabinowitz in the This Week in Survivor History quiz. Of course, busy week as per usual on the podcast. Talk to Stephen Fishback on the Know-It-Alls. That is up on the podcast feed right now. And then I have PG Law coming in here in a couple hours. We're going to get into everything from this season with PG and catch up, and then the feedback show with Sunday Berquist. Wiggle room to follow. Make sure you don't miss any of it when you subscribe to the podcast. RobHasAWebsite.com/iTunes. We always appreciate your feedback and star ratings there as well. Looks like that we have Natalia here on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Natalia, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. How are you?
Okay. I am doing okay. And Natalia, what an episode last night.
Yes. Yes, it was intense.
It was intense. And a intense exit from the game. I know that you did not see it coming. You were very upset to go out. So can you just take us through your emotions as that all unfolded last night?
Yeah. So there was a lot of doubt that I had in Alex in the Buku tribe. I felt it early on, and we really only had maybe like one entire day. Like, we got to the Buku camp, had one night to sleep, woke up, had the challenge, and then tribal council. So I didn't have a lot of time there. And I felt a shift in his personality towards me, no eye contact. And I think that's where my aggression starts coming in. So I kind of had an idea. I had an idea something was off. And I spoke to Kara a lot about it. And I said, you know, like, something is off. I just don't feel comfortable. And she kept reassuring me that it was just my thoughts and to, like, you know, calm down. But I when going into tribal council, seeing him talk to Elizabeth, it's very evident that all my thoughts were true and justified. And I kind of was like, this is the aha moment. And, like, this is really what the game is about. And it's this moment right here, you know? So,
yeah. Now, how close were you guys on the Goliath tribe? Because it seemed like from the episode that that was the person that you were tasked with. Okay, you've got Alec. It seemed like that you guys were almost a pair.
Yeah. So yes and no. Kara, Angelina, and I were definitely a strong alliance of three, and we were the three girls, and we thought, okay, we each have a guy that we kind of get along with or get along with a lot. Like, you see Kara and Dan hit it off, right? So I really, I wanted to work with Alec to bring him in, but mainly it was a lot of the girls discussing the six alliance in the beginning because we wanted to make this work, but of course we wanted to be the three core within the six, right? And I tried to get Alec on board a couple times, speaking to him, you know, about alliances, about strategy, who he was trusting. and he gave me nothing. It was very clear he didn't have trust in me early on. And it's kind of sad because I really tried to work and finesse the relationship with him, but we kind of only had in a relationship, maybe let's just say on a personal level. Mm-hmm. It wasn't game related, and I tried to shift it to game related, strategy talk, or get to know what he's really thinking about certain people, but he was very much closed off. And it's kind of how Elizabeth describes that he's very calculated in what he says. I think that he didn't really want to give away his trust to anybody early on. And it was kind of frustrating going into the Buku tribe or the Buku camp, because I thought, okay, this has to be it. He has to show me something, because finally now he really just has to work with me or he's going to switch, you know? And I already knew I had Kara. So when I started to not see the eye contact, I started to get a little bit paranoid. And you see my aggression coming through. And honestly, I had a feeling early on that, you know, he really didn't really have my trust. And maybe he thought that he couldn't trust me because, you know, I was questioning him a lot, but I had every reason to question him. He never opened up to me and he never told me what he was thinking. So a lot of our relationship was not game related. And I wish that he was playing the game and he was willing to talk to me about strategy or even fake it. He couldn't even fake it. He had nothing to say to me about strategy.
Could you talk about what the plan was going into that tribal council? Because we see that you cast your vote for Elizabeth, but Kara casts a vote for Davey. So could you sort of explain what the plan was from what you were told?
Yes. Yes. So we were sure. Well, I was sure one of them had the idol. Alec believed that no one had the idol. I don't remember what Kara was thinking, whether she believed one of them had the idol or not, but Kara was supposed to vote for Davey. Elizabeth, we knew, was going to vote for Davey because at that point, Elizabeth and Davey were both desperate. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Elizabeth was going to vote for Davey, and Davey, Alec and I were all going to vote for Elizabeth. And the reason we cast three votes with Elizabeth and two for Davey is because we wanted Davey to know that he could trust us moving forward, because he also had Carl as a number. And we thought the five of us could be a good number to go into the merge. And we thought, okay, Davey, if she plays an idol, then you have to go home. I'm sorry. And that's kind of when you see me talking to him, it's like, you either vote with us or you're gone. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of was like, I'm very upfront with how I talk, and it's sad that it comes across really aggressive, but that's my personality. And I speak with aggression, especially when I'm feeling insecure or, you know, not feeling comfortable. So it definitely comes out. And that's honestly what was the plan. So we assumed Elizabeth had the idol or Davey had the idol, but we trusted Davey and we wanted him to know that he was the second choice.
Do you think that Alec changed his mind at Tribal Council?
I think it was right before Tribal Council. And it's because when I basically tell them to go back to sleep, I actually came up to the shelter and they were all sleeping. Mm-hmm. And that kind of turned me the wrong way. I actually got annoyed. I was like, we're about to head to Tribal Council and you guys are going to be sleeping right now. It almost seemed to me like they were faking it. In my head, I was analyzing it and I thought they must be faking this, because maybe I kept telling Alec, you're not giving me eye contact. I am not getting the sense that you have, you know, you have this alliance with me. And he still wasn't giving me eye contact, even when I'm telling him I need to see that he really is in it to win it with me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw them sleeping, I was like, is this a cop out to not look at me? Because I'm reading them a certain way and maybe they didn't want to show me their expressions. I mean, I really was going crazy. So I frantically like woke them up and they were not happy about it. They like legitimately were sleeping and they were really annoyed. And I was like, crap, I just annoyed them. But I was like, I still need to confirm the vote. I felt very insecure. And I quickly told them after the fact, I was like, okay, just go back to sleep. And that's why I was really aggressive with it, because I was more annoyed. And I was like, just go back to sleep then. Because if you don't want to talk about the game with me, then it is what it is. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to rewatch this part again, but I tell them to shut up. And I feel like I almost was saying it to myself, because it's very like me to say, I'll shut up now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I want to know if it was like clipped or not, the part where I said, I need to rewatch it again, because I just don't feel in that moment I would tell them to shut up, because I was the one doing all the havoc. Like, I was causing them to wake up and I was the one talking about the vote. So if there is one thing that I regret in that moment, and it's honestly for personal reasons, I don't think I should have told them to shut up in that moment. Do I regret telling Alec to shut up at Tribal Council? No, I'm very happy with that decision. I just want to, you know, I want to be you know, very genuine. And I think that moment was not genuine if I had said that to them. That's mm-hmm. the only thing I regret.
So what do you think Alec whispered to Elizabeth at the tribal council?
Oh, it's clear. It's to get me out. I don't know how much talking he had to do to say that. I think if he just told her vote Natalia, she would have voted for Natalia.
Mm-hmm.
But he whispers that to her, and then you see him whispering to Kara, and that's when I got really annoyed, because mm-hmm. I'm like, first of all, who has been talking this entire game? Me. So you're going to go to Kara first and confirm to her what you were saying? That even just made it more obvious that he was going to vote me out. And then I wanted to know what he said to her. So Kara talks to me and basically reassured me that Alec's voting for Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Stop. Sorry, that's my dog. So when Kara tells me that Alec is voting for and not being worried, I was questioning whether she's faking it or whether she really just has no clue that he's going to vote me out. And at that point, either way, I know I can't convince her to vote him out, because if she really believed that he was telling the truth and just reassuring Elizabeth, then I can't convince her to vote him out because she believes him. And she was my strongest ally in the game. So I just felt like I had nobody's trust. And I was just like, what in the world am I to do right now? Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm just constantly just like in my head, because I was just analyzing it and I really couldn't find a way out.
What did Kara say to you when she whispered to you at the tribal council?
She just told me that Alec told her that he was just reassuring Elizabeth. But I was like, there's no reason to reassure Elizabeth.
Right.
He's not even, like, for her to even say that to me and believe it to be true, I was, like, getting more and more angry, because I was like, are they both playing me right now? Like, I can't, this is not real. This is not how Survivor goes. You know what I mean? I was like, this is like I'm in, like, the twilight. Like, mm-hmm. what is going on right now?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is there anything that you feel like you could have done differently, even knowing everything that you know now at that tribal council, to change this?
I wish that I had convinced Kara, and maybe even if Kara still believed Alec, I convinced Elizabeth and Davey to vote Alec out. They were really willing to do just whatever. But maybe my craziness kind of was a little bit too much. Elizabeth already wanted me gone. And I think that's why I didn't even try making a move, because I knew she wanted my name down. Kara wasn't wanting to believe that Alec was going to vote me out. I really had nobody. So
yeah.
I didn't know Davey had an idol. I couldn't even try using that towards my advantage. Like, there's really nothing I could have done, except maybe at camp I could have been less crazy. And I think that my waking them up was like the last straw for Alec.
Mm-hmm.
So had I not done that and I played it cool and just hoped for the best, then maybe that would have worked. But I'm not here to play Survivor to just hope for the best. You know what I mean? Like, I came to play. So for me, waking them up and talking to them was, in that moment, the best thing I could have done. And it's unfortunate that that's how it ended, but it is what it is.
Natalia, I'd love to go back to last week and talk about the vote for the Goliath tribe, because we saw you be very vocal throughout the first couple episodes of the season about how you really wanted Natalie to go out first. You were tired of dealing with Natalie at the Goliath tribe. You felt like that Natalie was going to be the first boot. And then ultimately, we see Angelina talking about Jeremy. You seem like you guys are not on the same page, but then it ends up being a 9-1 vote for Jeremy. So could you just tell us about how that ended up changing from Natalie to Jeremy from your perspective?
Yes. So in the shelter, you see the discussion between Angelina and I. And honestly, I was a little bit blindsided by that, because the alliance that Kara, Angelina, and I was to discuss everything amongst each other before we go and try to make a big move. So for her to tell me she already had all the numbers in her favor, and I was one of the last people to vote Jeremy out, it really kind of, it made me rethink our relationship. And honestly, I was upset. And the difference between Angelina and Alec is that with Angelina, I knew I could be myself. I had talked strategy with her. I had talked about the game with her. I was very candid with her. So I knew that she wasn't going to judge me based on my tone or based on my thoughts. We played a game based on, you know, being real. And I think coming off too strong to certain people rubs them the wrong way. Unfortunately for Alec, it rubbed him the wrong way. I feel like if he just listened to what I was saying and wasn't taking it personally, it would have been a different thing. Fortunately for me, Angelina doesn't take things personally. I could be very upfront with her with how I'm feeling. And I was very honest that I wanted Natalie gone. So after that, I spoke with her again separately. And I said, you know what? I want you to know I'm not happy with the decision, and I really do want to get Natalie out, but you're in my alliance and you're my friend, and I have to show you that I'm loyal to you. So moving forward in this game, you know you have my trust. So I will put Jeremy's name down just to reassure our alliance. And that was honestly for me to secure her as someone in my core alliance. I mean, at that point, whether I trusted her or not moving forward in the game, I didn't know because I didn't get to that level yet. But it was mainly for my game. And I did speak with Natalie too. And I talked to her and I said, hey, just so you know, I don't want to put Jeremy's name down. I do want to put your name down. You know this, but what are my reasons to not put your name down? Why would I do that? And she said, you know, I'm Goliath Strong. I want to make it clear. I have no beef with you. I don't intend to have beef with you. So going forward in this game, if we were to go to a swap, I would be Goliath Strong. And it's the way that she spoke to me. I could tell she was genuine. And that's also what I have to say, that going back to the Alec thing, I felt Alec was not being genuine. There's something to say when you ask a person point blank what they're feeling. If they can't respond to you, you know that they're lying. Mm-hmm. So with Natalie, for her to just be point blank, this is what I'm thinking. I knew she was telling the truth. And I knew that, hey, maybe if we were to go into a swap, she would be Goliath Strong. And we see that right now. She is Goliath Strong going into that swap. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, that's honestly what happened.
All right, Natalia, real quick, last thing, that there was a lot of hubbub last week in Jeremy's exit press where he was outing a lot of showmances that he said he saw on the island. That from your perspective, was there any showmance between Angelina and Johnny Mundo?
So honestly, I think that question should be directed towards the two of them. I really don't have a place to discuss anybody's relationship other than the relationships that I built, because this honestly is about my game and how I played. I don't feel comfortable talking on, you know, anybody else's relationships in the game. And honestly, it's my opinion isn't what matters because it wasn't me. So I think it also is a fine line to, you know, what does showmance mean to everybody? So you can't just use one term and expect everyone to have the same meaning for it. And that's all I'll say on the matter.
All right. Thank you so much, Natalia. All the best. And if you ever want a challenge rematch, let me know, okay?
Okay. Anytime.
Okay. All right. All right. All the best, Natalia. Take care.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. There you go. I had unknowingly matched up against Natalia at the EW Pop Fest in a challenge. You know what a challenge beast I am. And she did end up beating me in one of the challenges that we were playing there before she was on the show. And so that's what I was referencing there. That question about the showmances, I have to say that was not the answer I was expecting to get from Natalia, but an interesting response nonetheless. All right. So we are going to get set up to speak with B. Let me quickly mention something that I have not talked about a lot lately. We do have the Rob Has a Podcast Amazon.com store, which is our affiliate site. And there is a lot of Survivor related merchandise, which you can access. It is a referral link on RobHasAWebsite.com. You can go to Amazon.com/shop/RHAP. We do get a small commission whenever you use that link, whether it's Halloween or the holiday season around the corner. It is greatly appreciated and a really simple way that you can support Rob as a Podcast, Amazon.com/shop/RJP. That link is also right on the homepage of RobAsAWebsite.com, right underneath the current shows. All right, we have B here as well on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. B, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. B, we saw you go out of the game last night. Could you just tell us a little bit about the prognosis that you were given when you had that injury in the game?
Okay, so after the challenge, I knew something was wrong. It was unstable because I had torn the same MCL before. So Jeff brought me over to Dr. Joe, and he looked at it, and he said, it's sprained or hyperextended. At this point, I don't think it's torn, but it definitely is unstable, so we're going to wrap it up, and we'll see how you feel and leave the decision up to you. So I went back to camp and spent the whole next day feeling out my knee and just thinking about my decision.
Yeah, and the decision was ultimately yours, right? That there wasn't a decision made by Survivor Medical for you?
Yes, the decision was ultimately mine. I was not medevaced.
Okay. So, and did they tell you that things would potentially get worse, or if you continued to play on, or you were just concerned that that was a possibility?
Of course, if you sprain your MCL.
Because I'm not an athlete, B. I don't know anything about this stuff.
Okay. I'm sorry. So if your knee is unstable, you need to, like, prop it up. You need to stop right away and rest before it can tear.
Mm-hmm.
If it turns the wrong way, if it hyperextends, it will tear.
Yeah.
Especially I've torn the same one before.
Mm-hmm.
So ideally, if I could have sat up, had my leg up, and rested, it could have gotten better within the week or the next 2 weeks. I'm not sure the time. But the reason I made my decision was the camp was, not only was the challenges rough, the camp was rough. Like, mm-hmm. you have to walk uphill, the sand, the everything. About even moving around camp was tough. So I knew that the tear was inevitable if I stayed.
Okay. So, B, what has your recovery been like since you played?
When I left the game, I went to Ponte Rosa. We did a lot of rehab. It felt better. I couldn't walk the first couple of days. After about 2 weeks, I could walk again, jog again, but it wasn't strong. I'm still rehabbing it to this day. I had a world title fight, actually, a couple months after that fight. So with that camp and that fight, I stressed it more.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm still rehabbing it. I'm still getting it back. It's no longer injured. I'm mobile, but I am still in the process of strengthening this MCL up.
How did you break the news to the tribe that you were going to be walking away from the game?
That night, I told them what had happened and what was in my head. I told them I was thinking about leaving. And we all cried. They were very supportive. We were all trying to figure out ways how I could stay and not get injured. But we all knew that camp was rough. And I told them that the next morning, I would wait till the next morning to make my decision. Because overnight, you can either wake up and it feels better, or you can wake up and it's worse. And when I woke up, it was swollen, it was inflamed, and the pain was much worse the next day. So that was my decision.
Okay. So let me bring things back to the game. And you were blindsided by that vote to take Jessica out of the game. We saw last week that Nick came to you and tried to pin the whole thing on Gabby. Did you take him at face value, or did you think that maybe that he was part of it?
Because of the connection I had with Gabby and the alliance I had with Gabby, I knew when I found out that Gabby voted for Jessica, I felt betrayed mm-hmm. then. So when Nick tried to pin it on Gabby, it was just good timing for him. I was already upset, and I completely believed him.
But you felt like you had a good relationship with Gabby heading into that vote, because we saw that scene where she came to you and Jessica, and then she felt really unsure about what you guys were saying to her.
Right. The things that what people didn't see is I had a really tight alliance with Gabby, me and myself and her, and a friendship with Gabby. Where I failed was, and we had spoken many times before about the vote. We were solid in voting Lyrsa out. What I failed to do was to keep reassuring her.
Mm-hmm.
I realized now watching the show that I needed to reassure her all the way until the end as much as she needed me to reassure her. The clip that you saw when you saw me not reassuring her, kind of brushing it off, was just me thinking like, look, we got it. Like, this is what we're doing. And I failed at reassuring my ally and my friend, and she got paranoid and felt like she needed to do what she needed to do.
Did you have a one-on-one with Gabby after that Jessica vote?
I did, but I think with Nick played it well, and I spoke to Nick first. And when I talked to Gabby afterwards, it wasn't as convincing to me. I felt like she turned on me. I felt like she went mm-hmm. with the numbers instead. I felt like when she was presented the opportunity, she turned.
Did you have a name for your alliance with Nick?
No, I didn't.
How come? How come you didn't get one?
I don't know. I actually asked him that. And I was like, I'm going to ask him. I'm very first today. I was really approached by Nick. When we first got on the island, I was the one that was unsure about Nick. So maybe he didn't feel like I was the prime, I was the best person to come to for an ally. And I'm also very, I was a workhorse on the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So I did everything. I did a lot around camp. So maybe in that he knew he didn't do a lot of things around camp. He knew that I may have not been the ideal connection for him, you know. But yeah, man, I should think about one, and I wish I would have gotten one.
Okay, maybe he can give you one after the fact. And then did you have any idea that Davey had the idol?
I didn't have any idea. I want to know. I want to know who knew. I didn't know.
Okay.
I didn't know. I want to know. I wonder if Carl knew.
We'll find out, I guess. So, B, very nice to talk to you. Hope you had a fun Survivor experience, and that all the best to you in your career moving forward.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thanks a lot, B. Take care. All right, everybody, there you have it. B. Nguyen here on the podcast. All right, so we're going to get ready to switch gears, and I'm going to throw it to me talking with Jordan Kalish on our This Week in Survivor History quiz. All right, everybody, here we go. This Week in Survivor History. First, let's bring in the man everybody's talking about, Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
I am doing very well, Rob. I am off my, my historic week from last week on Survivor History. A lot of really great feedback there, but I'm back and I'm going to be completely serious this time. No laughing, not even a chuckle. But even Brian Corden, the originator of the Bait Blake strategy, loved the Bait Blake game. So great news for This Week in Survivor History. We're really, really rolling so far this season.
Okay, exciting times in This Week in Survivor History, because rumor has it you got a response to the request for a This Week in Survivor History theme song.
Yes, and not only a response, but a response from one of the greatest Wandoff legends of all time. I think he's written my favorite Wandoff song of all time, Say Something, I'll Subtitle You. So this is, of course, DJ LaBelle Klein, who hit me up, slid into my DMs, and sent us a little bit of an intro song.
Okay, so I will play for you. I have not ever listened to this. This is a sight unseen, sound unheard. I now present to you a Rob has a podcast exclusive. Let's church this up.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. So after all of this, you have stuck around so that you could play it. I'm glad you waited. Do you know your seasons and who was voted out? There's only one winner. It's time for
Twish Twish Quiz. This week in Survivor History with Jordan Kalish. Can the guests solve the mystery?
I don't know if we need a 43-second theme song in the middle of the exit interview, though.
Yeah, well, I think he did a great job singing the song. He's not the first person who suggested this as a parody for This Week in Survivor History, because the song is called Swish, which rhymes with Twish. But what DJ LaBelle Klein does not know is that a good friend of mine, Aaron Robertson, said he is going to be sending me for next week a competing theme song. So we might have a mini Wandoff here to decide what's going to be the theme song going forward on This Week.
All right, that's the leader in the clubhouse right now. That's the leader in the clubhouse.
Right now it's the only one, yes. And it is the leader. And I think it just has the credibility of being a DJ LaBelle Klein song.
All right, so until somebody knocks that one off the mountain, that is atop the leaderboard. So congratulations to DJ LaBelle Klein. Now, let's talk about who you've brought here into the octagon to take me on in the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
Okay, so I've brought a voice that is familiar to fans of Rob Has a Podcast. This is a person who I believe last June recorded a podcast with you about the psychology of the social game of Survivor, and we have here Amanda Rabinowitz.
Amanda Rabinowitz is here. Amanda, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. And it's an honor to be appearing on the first Twitch with the DJ LaBelle Klein soundtrack.
First one.
And are you a little bit intimidated that you're coming on the heels of such a historic week, the Will from America episode in which I lost my...
I'm extremely intimidated.
And now you're cursing on the quiz, Jordan? Get it together. Who are you in 2018?
I don't know, Rob. I think there's been a little bit of a... I'm a Goliath in bloom. I said that last week, and I'm
You've gone full bloom.
I have gone full bloom. As you know, you never want to go full... Actually, no. I what am I saying? I do like going full bloom. It's fun.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of pressure to follow that up, but I think that Will did a good job handling that, and I'm hoping
Great
that
job.
There's maybe, you know... less boobies on this Twitch. I would be happy with that.
I could guarantee you far less boobies on this Twitch.
All right. Amanda, you didn't have secondhand embarrassment for Jordan last week?
I'm a very empathic person, so I did have a slight bit of secondhand embarrassment, but Jordan seemed to relish it. So I think we all came out the other side.
He ran with it.
You either watch the news or you make the news.
Okay. All right. Great house slogan. Okay, before we get to the This Week in Survivor History quiz and whatever else Adis Ghoulish has up his fancy sleeves, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at Legacy Box. Legacy Box is such a great idea because I think that we all have grown up in houses where, you know, before everybody had iPhones, but you could just, you know, everybody just had a video camera at all times, that there was somebody or a couple people in the family, they had a video camera, and now we have all of these, you know, different cassettes that nobody can play. Legacy Box helps you solve that problem because they send you a completely secured box to your house where you just load up all your tapes. There's not going to be any sort of Jenna Lewis thing where, oh, we don't know where the videotape is. No, that's not what Legacy Box is going to do. You could be the hero of your family once you take all these home movies and you get them encoded into a thumb drive or digital media that you can download, or a DVD. Jordan, wouldn't you be the hero of your family if you could pull this off?
We have hours and hours of footage. It would be great to have it on digital. And by the way, I had no idea where you were going with that Jenna Lewis tape. I'm happy you were talking about the one that she didn't get on Survivor and
Okay, all right. Yes, full bloom. We got it. Whatever type of media you have, even reels of film, Legacy Box can digitize them by hand. It is the greatest gift you can give as we approach the holiday season for anybody who's thinking ahead. They've got a great offer for our listeners. You can save up to $200 on the largest Legacy Box kit or get 40% off your first order when you go to legacybox.com/Rob to save 40%. Legacy Box is the world's largest and most trusted digitizer of your home movies and photos. They will send you an update every step of the way so you know that they have your media and they are taking great care of it. 12 personalized emails you will receive, over a decade of experience as well. All the work is done by hand right here in the USA. There's never been a better time to digitally preserve your memories. Go to legacybox.com today to get started. And they've got this great offer for our listeners. For this exclusive discount, go to legacybox.com/Rob to get 40% of your first order or save up to $200. On the largest Legacy Box kit. Go to legacybox.com/Rob and save 40% today. Get started preserving your past. Amanda, even So Kim, if she had the opportunity, she would pick the Legacy Box.
Better than the Neutral Box.
Much better, much better. Because the Neutral Box will get you voted out. Legacy Box will make you the hero of your tribe and your family.
You know, no joke, Rob, my grandmother just asked me if I could do this with a bunch of our VHS tapes. So I'm going to go and check it out.
I mean, I'm definitely going to do this for my mom this year. Oh, she's listening. But the parents, they don't need more stuff. They want to be able to watch these videos, and nobody can work a VCR anymore. Okay.
Yeah. I think you ruined the surprise. Roseanne Sesternino, huge Twitch listener. She tweets me every week about the show.
We're lucky your mom is listening.
Yeah, she actually does listen. It used to be the only show she listens to, but now she listens to everything.
Jordan, did you get grounded after last week's episode?
Yes, I did. I wasn't allowed to leave my apartment.
Deservedly
for a week
so.
Work.
Yeah,
and no ice cream, no snacks. It was terrible.
All right. So, Jordan, what do you have lined up for Amanda and I for this week's quiz?
All right? So as always, I have four multiple choice questions, and for each of them, you can either gain 2 points by not hearing the multiple choice options and getting the question right, or 1 point, and if you do hear the multiple choice options and you get the question right, if you go for two, as always, your opponent can steal if you are incorrect. So the four categories that we have here today, Blender, I barely know her, Pulling a Gendry, Beast Mode Cowboy, Cowboy spelled C-A-O-B-O-I, and We Have Clearance Clarence. So, Amanda, as the guest, you get to choose your category first.
Okay. I'm going to go with Beast Mode Cowboy.
Okay, Beast Mode Cowboy. So, of course, we're going to go to Survivor Cook Islands from October 19th, 2006, which is 12 years ago tomorrow. In his boot episode, Cowboy has a dream that includes supernatural beings and different types of credit cards. From this Wiggler on Ghost Island-esque dream, he somehow comes up with a plan to split the votes in order to nullify the super idol, making him the first person to ever vocalize an idol-related vote split in the show's history. What did Cowboy call his plan?
Ooh, okay. I actually know this one, so I will not suffer the embarrassment of not getting any answers correct. But I believe that Cowboy called this Plan Voodoo.
Plan Voodoo is correct. Amanda, you start with a two-pointer. Very good. And that is, yes, that is two more points than some people have gotten on this quiz. So very nice start. And Rob, you get to choose your category.
Could I hear the categories one more time?
Yes. We have Blender, I Barely Know Her, Pulling a Gendry, and We Have Clearance Clarence.
I'll go with Pulling a Gendry.
Pulling a Gendry, and we're going to go to Survivor Gabon. The episode is called This Camp is Cursed from October 16th, 2008, 10 years ago this past Tuesday. Who went off by himself in the canoe before an immunity challenge, making his tribe nervous that he went missing and therefore wouldn't be attending the challenge?
Okay. I, too, will attempt to answer without the help of the multiple choice, and I am going to go with Mr. GC.
GC, God's Child. Yes, you get 2 points. So we are all tied up. Great start here for both of you. Flying through this quiz. No hitches so far, but you never know what's going to happen when we get to the death match. Last week, I think we spent more than half of the quiz on that final round. So, Amanda, we have two more categories remaining. We have Blender, I Barely Know Her, and We Have Clearance Clarence.
I'm intrigued by the name, so I think I'm going to go with Blender, I Barely Know Her.
Okay, and we're going to go to my favorite Survivor season of all time, Survivor Pearl Islands. The episode is called Everyone's Hero from October 16th.
Let me weigh on the name of that. Who is this new Jordan Kalish, Amanda?
I think he's going blue. I think he's gotten some confidence. He's likes these racy questions.
This is a family podcast, Jordan.
I don't. What did I do this time? What did I do that's not family? This is PG and not
this
PG
is,
law.
This is PG law.
So Blender, I Barely Know Her, and like I said before, from Survivor Pearl Islands, October 16th, 2003, 15 years ago this past Tuesday. In the Pearl Islands Gross Food Eating Challenge, who was supposed to act as a decoy for the Drake tribe, pretending that she was struggling when it came to eating the blended shellfish, yet failed in doing so?
Okay, so I definitely remember this episode, and I remember the strategy, and now I just have to make sure that I get the right survivor. I'm pretty sure that Rob will be able to steal this one if I get it wrong. I think that it was Krista.
Krista, unfortunately, is incorrect. And since you did not get the multiple choice, Rob does have the chance to steal.
Yeah, it's the right tribe, but I believe it was Michelle, and Johnny Fairplay was very upset.
Johnny Fairplay was very upset, and yes, Michelle Tesoro was the one who messed this up here. She did a great job drinking the blended shellfish, but she was not supposed to look like she was doing such a great job. So, Rob, you steal a point here. Michelle ends up getting voted out partly because of this. So you have now a 3-2 lead over Amanda, which is your turn to choose the last category, which is We Have Clearance Clarence. We're going to go all the way to Survivor Africa. The episode is Who's Zooming Who from October 18th, 2001, 17 years ago today. We're going really far back here. Unfortunately for all the Jessie Camacho stans out there, she was voted out of the Baran tribe by a vote of 5-2, mainly due to her.
I think
constant
Big Tom
golfing.
Is the only Jessie Camacho stan.
Who voted for Clarence along with Jesse at the second Out Africa Tribal Council?
Okay. Well, I believe I know the names that you're going to give me, so I will open the door for Amanda to steal her point back. But I'm going to guess, much like the only Jesse Camacho stan, I will say that it was also Big Tom.
Yeah, you seem to have read my mind in the middle of me reading that question, because, yes, Big Tom still very angry at Clarence for the whole beans incident in the previous episode. So, yes, it is 5-2, Rob, a commanding lead here. But as we know, in the final round, any player can score 3 points. So we're going to go.
And the host can also melt down.
The host can melt down.
Anything can happen.
We're ready for it.
Yeah. So let's see what happens here. We're going to the death match. Rob has a 3-point lead here, up 5-2. So 1 week ago in Twitch history, we had arguably our most memorable death match of all time.
The game was, of course, Jordan's really hyping last week's episode.
Yeah, look, it's the people's favorite episode. It's what they want to hear. The game was, of course, called Bait Blake. Today's game may not reach the hysterics of last week, but get ready because we're about to bait blank. You will choose a random number from 1 through 6. Each number corresponds with a tribe swap from this week in Survivor history. Now you're laughing.
Well, I just can't get over how self-congratulatory you are about the podcast last week.
Brian Corrigan was a huge fan of that game.
The survivors loved it. The fans loved it. The listeners, the commenters. I'm sure there's a silent minority out there who wasn't so into it. But who knows? So we're going to play Bait Blank, B-L-A-N-K. You will choose a random number from 1 through 6. I'm not going to be able to do this if you're laughing too loud.
This isn't good. This game yet. Wait.
Rob, I don't think he got Rob to the part where he explained it yet.
Yeah, Rob is going full ghoulish here, just laughing in the background. I'm trying to get through the rules. So random number 1 through 6. Each number corresponds with the tribe swap from this week in Survivor history. Therefore, only odd-numbered seasons are valid. I will read the Wikipedia description of the tribe swap. However, survivors' names, which would be a dead giveaway as to which season the swap was from, have been substituted with the word blank. Tribe names will be referred to as Tribe 1, Tribe 2, Tribe 3, and so on. You must answer with the season the swap occurred in. 4 answers will be given during this round, and if you're incorrect, you may not gain any more points unless we go to a tiebreaker. Therefore, if you're incorrect on your first response, you'll open the door for your opponent to gain 3 points in this round. If there's a tie after 4 answers, we'll go to a tiebreaker. So I'm going to read you a description. You're going to choose a random number from 1 through 6, and you're trying to guess the season that the tribe swap is from. So
Amanda, you got all that?
We'll figure it out as we go along.
It always ends up working. I should say it sometimes ends up working out. So, Amanda, choose a number from 1 through 6.
3.
Okay, so I'm going to read the description. Prior to the reward challenge, Tribe 1 was declared defeated by the other two tribes. Blank was transferred to Tribe 2 and blank to Tribe 3.
Is this for real?
Which season is this from? I'll read it again. Prior to the reward challenge, Tribe 1, so one of the tribes, was declared defeated by the other two tribes. Somebody, blank, was transferred to Tribe 2 and blank to Tribe 3.
Okay, so is this Philippines and Matt Singh was divided between the other two tribes?
That is correct. Okay. It is the Philippines. It was Matt Singh that was divided.
But we don't need to give the tribe names. Just the season.
You just need to give the season.
Okay,
the season name. So, yes, she said Philippines. Amanda is correct. And you have a 5-3 lead now. And, Rob, you would actually ice it if you get this one correct. To choose a number 1 through 6, 3 has already been taken.
Okay, I'll go with number 1.
Okay. Instead of a reward challenge, local fishermen dropped off messages instructing each tribe to select the 2 strongest members of the other tribe to be added to their own. Tribe 1 selected blank and blank, while Tribe 2 selected blank and blank.
I believe this happened in China.
Survivor China is correct. And with that, Rob, you have officially won the quiz. I think let's give Amanda another shot, Joe. Just for fun.
I
like this. Okay.
So you're up 6-3. I won't add any more points to the total. You win this game 6-3. But Amanda, I'll give you another one here. So 1 through 6, 1 and 3 are taken.
All right, I'll do 2.
Okay, 2. Jeff told the castaways to drop their buffs as there would be a tribal switch before the start of the reward challenge. the castaways drew rocks for captains, with blank and blank being selected. Blank was told to pick three members from Tribe 2 that would join Tribe 1, and she picked blank, blank, and blank. Blank had to pick four members from Tribe 1 to join Tribe 2, and she selected blank, blank, and blank.
Jordan, I have no idea.
This is, to be fair, the hardest one that is on here.
Do you know this one, Rob?
Could I hear it one more time?
Yes, Jeff told the castaways to drop their buffs and there'd be a tribal switch before the start of the reward challenge. The castaways drew rocks for captains, with blank and blank being selected. So there's two captains. Blank was told to pick three members from Tribe 2 that would join Tribe 1, and she picked three blanks. Blank had to pick four members from Tribe 1 to join Tribe 2, and she selected three blanks as well.
Okay.
I think, Rob, I think you should just make it a Mad Libs.
Yes. Where's Mike and Liana? If I had to guess, I would say that it was Cook Islands.
Unfortunately, you would have been incorrect. The answer was Nicaragua, and Brenda and Holly Hoffman were the two captains there.
Who remembers that?
iconic swap.
I will say that was by far I put that one in there. It was by far the hardest of all the tribe swaps that I have there. The other ones that
China,
I have included. You know what? I'll save them for next year. I think China and the Philippines, I think, were the two. You actually got, I think, both picked the two easiest to answer in the first round.
They can't all be bait Blake, okay?
They can't all be bait Blake, but they could all be bait blank. So. Good job. Good job with that game. Rob, you win the game 6-3. But Amanda, you did a fantastic job.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here and get beaten by Rob.
Yes. A lot of times you get 3 points and you win.
Amanda, what is the buzz level right now in Philadelphia about the possibility of a know-it-alls coming to Philadelphia in 2019?
Oh, it is off the charts, Rob. We are buzzing about it. Everybody I talk to who's in the greater Philadelphia area is asking me, you know, when is it going to happen? Do you think it's for real? So, you know, the enthusiasm is high.
Okay. All right.
Yes, I will say Philadelphia, very close to New York. If you have it there, I will come to Philly for the Twish, I guess Twish 11.
That might seal the deal.
How many are we up to now?
What bait blank game are you going to do for that one, Jordan?
It could be like I feel like you need the alliteration, so maybe like a bait Brett, because I feel like Brett would probably come to any know-it-alls that we have. So maybe some sort of game related to Brett LaBelle, who is a Twitch alum at this point.
Yes.
And Amanda, of course, I have to ask you this question. Who is the first survivor that you followed on Twitter?
I think it was probably Rob.
Yeah, it was Rob. That's a
good choice.
One. That's, yeah, but and the second one was Fishback. But besides the know-it-alls, who do you think the first survivor you followed on Twitter was? I'm actually scrolling up right now trying to find it.
Oh, besides the know-it-alls,
you guys don't count.
Yeah,
was it Cochran?
It was not. It was actually Russell Hantz.
Oh.
followed by Ozzy. So some great
Amanda.
Three favorite survivors of all time. Rob Steven and Russell Hands.
All right. Amanda, if people want to keep up with you on social media, do you tweet the show?
No, I mostly tweet about brain injury rehabilitation, but sometimes I might tweet about the show. But people can follow me. I'm ARABINOW.
Mm-hmm.
A Rabinow at Twitter. So feel free to follow me. And I do tweet about, I'll tweet about podcasts sometimes. And I do chat with some of the other RHAP fans on there.
All right. Well, Amanda, it is always very nice to catch up.
Yes. Very nice to talk to you, Rob. Thanks for having me, Jordan.
Yes, Amanda, of course. Thank you for coming on, and you were a lot of fun. Maybe not as crazy as last week, but I think it was good to get back in the
Jordan,
center
I
here.
Jordan, I think you're overselling it. I don't think you're doing yourself any favors.
Oh, you have to oversell. You have to oversell the big week. Trust me, it's how it works. I feel like that's what I asked myself. What would Tony Vlachos do? And I think that he would be talking about this on Twitter for a long time. He'd be selling T-shirts. the original Survivor t-shirt seller.
All right. Did we get to talk about your visit with the mayor of Slamtown yet?
It may have. I think it did. Actually, no, it wouldn't have come up last week. We talked about it on a Facebook Patreon Friday.
Jordan's new Twitter bio is Jordan with the mayor of Slamtown. How was that?
It was a lot of fun. He hosted it at a bar in New York City. It was actually very close to where we had the karaoke event the night before Know It Alls, and it was a lot of fun. It was mainly wrestling fans, but there was a table of Survivor fans who all happened to be our RHAP patrons who I already know and have already hung out with on multiple occasions. So we had a great contingent there. The mayor of Slamtown, he did say word for word that your podcast, RHAP, is the best Survivor podcast out there. However, he did call you Rob Sesterzino.
Zeno? Yes. I never heard that pronunciation.
I think maybe he was combining you and Rob Zabaknik. He knew that there was a Rob with a Z somewhere in his name.
Amanda, real quick, could I just give you Deese Ghoulish's Twitter bio?
Oh, yeah, please.
He's Deese Ghoulish at Jordan Kalish. This week in Survivor History, co-host on RHAP, hashtag Twish, the George Bishy of Twishy, head of the League of Kangaroos, Blake Towsley stories make me laugh.
It's all true. There's no word in that bio that is not
the actual.
You got to know your brand.
So Deese Ghoulish is all in.
Jordan, how did the mayor of Slamtown introduce himself?
John. It was like, oh, hi, I'm John. He was actually, when you talk to him, he's a very, very like normal, nice guy. But when he gets into character, he was making this video where he was thumb wrestling this other guy who I guess was also a professional wrestler. And he was completely in character, and he's kind of outlandish when he's in character. But when he was doing the Q&A and when he was actually talking to the fans, he really seems like a normal guy. And I think you could kind of tell that in some of his confessionals until he starts talking about all his, the nicknames and the Slamtown. But really, really nice guy. And actually, Bea Nguyen was there as well.
Okay. All right. Well, good stuff. Great reporting from out in the field. And Jordan, we will talk to you next week.
Yep, talk to you next week, Rob, and hopefully I'm able to stay as calm, cool, and collective as I did this week.
Okay. All right, take care.
You too.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Deese Ghoulish. She's a whole different guy than who I remember when we first started talking about doing this, and glad he's having a good time. All right, so we had a fun time on the exit interview, and more good times to come as PG Law is coming into the studio. So getting ready for that one. Excited to catch up with PG. And of course, Sunday Berquist is going to be talking with me on the feedback show this week. So get your feedback questions in. You can go ahead and email them in, survivor@robisawebsite.com, 323-282-RHAP, or leave us a message by phone or computer at robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. As always, thank you guys so much for listening. Without you guys checking out the show, there would be no show for me to do, so it is greatly appreciated and not lost on me that you guys listen to these episodes. So thank you again, and I'll talk to you again soon with PG Law. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.